We thank you, God, for all the things you show us, for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, God, for your kindness. We just thank you, God, for being who you are and allowing us to be called your sons and your daughters. We give you glory, O God. We give you honor that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to bring our petitions and to make our requests known, knowing that you are a God who hears. Not only do you hear, but you are a God who answers. He said we can call upon you in the time of need. We can call upon you in the time of trouble. And you hear. So Father, tonight we say, let your name be glorified. Let your name be exalted in our lives. And the words that we speak tonight and the prayer that we pray, may your name be exalted. May your righteousness rain upon us, O God, that we may see your goodness. May you open up the windows of heaven and cause your rain to come upon us. Thank you, God, for opening up the treasures of heaven and calling us into a place of righteousness, into a place of holiness, because you are God. Thank you, God, for declaring that we cannot do this on our own, but you will do it by your Spirit. Holy Spirit, we give you control over this hour. We give you charge and say, do whatever heaven has said must be done. Bring us into alignment in terms of our minds, our thoughts, and our ideas. And Father, whatever word you utter, we know that it will not return to you void, but it is going to accomplish everything that you have sent it to accomplish. Let your word prosper in us, and let your word prosper in our hearts, because you are God. Somebody say amen. Amen, amen. I want to say a few things tonight before we get into the place that we want to pray. And I just want you to say a few things. They're not really specifically in terms of where I feel the Lord is leading us tonight, but I just want to just put a few, I want to say a few parametric works or parametric frames just to some of the things that are happening in the body of Christ, things that we are really seeing in the world over. And hopefully the few words we're going to share with you are going to bring some clarity and just to lay out some things. Is that okay? Just to lay out some things. One of the things that I want to just, it's a little bit difficult for me to get into it, but I'm trying to find a way to segue into what the Lord is, what I feel the Lord is saying. We are at a critical juncture in terms of the Church of the Living God. Let me start it off by saying that the body of Christ is alive and the body of Christ is well. Somebody say amen. The body of Christ is alive and the body of Christ is well. The Church of the Living God is not dying. The Church of the Living God is thriving. Somebody say hallelujah. The power of God has not diminished. The power of God will not diminish. The influence of God in the earth will not diminish. The influence of God in the church is still on the rise. There are many things that are happening in the world over where there is a lot of confusion. We want to say that most of us, we are so inundated with prophetic words coming from every corner, coming from every angle. The prophetic words are so conflicting, painting as it were a picture of a confused God. Can I say that? Because you are hearing words that are coming from every corner. Some are saying there is going to be doom, there is going to be destruction. Some are saying it is going to be well, nothing is going to happen. You really see a contrasting of words that are being spoken to a place where those that are looking for prophetic direction are standing in a place of confusion, because the people that are operating in the prophetic office seem to be saying things that are diametrically opposed. Two, I believe that our God is not a God of confusion. Can somebody say amen? Our God is not a God of confusion. Specifically, highlighting the idea when I say that God is not a God of confusion, God does not speak and give us mixed messages. God is a God of clarity. God is a God who speaks a sure word. Let me just say this. God does not deal with assumptions. God does not deal with speculations. God does not deal with maybes, but God deals with definitives. God deals with definitelys. So when you begin to hear from different prophetic circles and prophetic voices that are speaking things that are contrary to God, the truth can be only one thing, that either one of them is standing with God or all of them are not standing with God. I'm going to say it again. If you are hearing voices that are speaking on behalf of God that are in contradiction, it means that one of them is lying or both of them are not standing with God. It is when men begin to speak their own opinion, elevating their opinion as the prophetic voice of God, that confusion rises. If the Bible says God is not the author of confusion, that simply means that on the negative side, there is somebody who is the author of confusion. There is somebody who is the author of confusion. Jesus said to us, "My sheep know my voice and they hear my voice." It is the responsibility of the people that are hearing the prophetic word to be able to discern whether that voice is speaking on behalf of God or that voice is using the prophetic voice to elevate their opinion of events as a prophetic direction and a prophetic unction of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, "Beware, for there are many wolves that have gone out that are amongst the flock that are dressed in sheep's clothing," which means they are going to be acting like people of God. They are going to be living like people of God. They are going to be exhibiting a level of glory of the kingdom of God. But their glory is in the glory of an outward appearance, according to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, a glory of the outward appearance. But there is no glory in their hearts because their hearts are far from God. But they are speaking, they want to speak on behalf of God because having that position gives them influence to deceive even those that are looking for God. Now, here's the thing that is important. You as a believer, you as the saint, as a saint, you as a child of God, walking with God, you must be able to judge every word you hear by the Spirit. You must be able to judge every word you hear by the Spirit. He says that you must judge every word by the Spirit for you to know whether it is true or it is not. Let me give you an example, then we'll go into our place of prayer. There were prophets that were prophesying in the courts of the king in the days of Jeremiah. They were speaking, they had the ear of the king, they had the ear of the people, they were prophesying peace and peace and peace when Jeremiah was declaring what the word of the Lord was. Now, you have to understand that when Jeremiah was speaking, Jeremiah was not looking at the current events and give you a commentary of what's happening and speculating as to what is going to happen if people continue on a particular trajectory. But Jeremiah was declaring what God was speaking. Jeremiah was declaring what God was saying was coming. Now, here's the thing. I don't really want to be in this position tonight, but I feel strongly in my spirit to give you a word of warning. I feel strongly in my spirit to give you a word of warning. And here's the word of warning. We are in a tremendous season in the nation of America. We're in a tremendous season in the church itself. Everybody is looking for what the future is going to look like. I want to tell you things that are going to be definite in the future. I am not speculating. I want to let you know that whatever happens, God is still going to be sitting on the throne. God is still going to be God. His word is still going to be true. Anybody hearing me? His word is going to be true. Whichever way things are going to turn, his word is going to be true in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I have often stated this with people that know me. I have said this over and over and over again. The thing that I detest the most are prophetic voices that I says now, prophetic voices that rise up at an opportune moment to cause confusion and never clarify what God is saying, and getting into a place where they're never held accountable for every prophetic word that they release, because we want their prophetic, we are so desperate for their prophetic word to become true. We look for everything that is happening around us to justify what they have said. I want to let you know that the prophetic word that is being spoken by God does not need any man to qualify it. It is going to come to pass as God has declared it. Okay, as God has declared it. So now in this season that we are living in, you have to be watchful. You have to be careful. Everybody that I see now, most of the people that I see now, they are carrying the title prophet behind them. They are carrying the title apostle behind them. A self-appointed prophet is not a prophet of God. In the name of Jesus, just hear my words and hear my words carefully. And a self-appointed prophet is not a prophet of God. Many shall call themselves by titles, but they are not anointed. They are not appointed for what they are saying they are called to do in the name of Jesus. You shall know them, and you shall know them by their fruit. I'm going to say it again. You shall know them, and you shall know them by their fruit. And here's the thing that I have to state again. You are not going to use only one criteria to judge their fruit. You are not only going to use the criteria of their words coming to pass, because the devil can also tell you a prophetic word that is going to come to pass. Anybody hearing me? The devil can tell you a word that is also going to come to pass, but you must judge the vessel by the fruit of that vessel. In the name of Jesus, judge the prophetic word as it comes to pass, but judge by the spirit that is behind what they are saying. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So I pray that as you go about your life, you are going to say, God, more than hearing the voice of the prophet, I want to hear your voice. I want to know your voice. I am not looking for words that tickle my ear. I'm not looking for words that confirm what I want to hear, but I'm looking for the voice that declares what God is saying. Because the danger, I have lived in America for almost 16 years now. And here is the challenge that I have found, the challenge that I have, and I will quit. I don't want to discuss a whole bunch of things. I may just get into trouble. But here is the thing that I have found. You have prophetic voices that rise up every 4 years when we get in the election season, every 4 years, declaring, they're saying, this is what God has shown them. This is what God is going to do. This is what God is going to turn. On the night of November the 4th, they are quiet, they are silent, they never say anything else at all. They wait again the next election cycle to begin declaring again. And everything that they have declared from the beginning, ever since I've been following it, has never been able to come to pass. Yet they still declare themselves to be prophetic voices speaking on behalf of God. Jesus, help me. Let me say this again. Never listen to a prophet who gives you a prophetic word that has an exit strategy. I'm going to say it again. Never listen to a prophet who gives you a prophetic word that has an exit strategy. Because if a prophet is hearing what God is saying, they are going to say something in the definitive. They're not going to say what this is going to happen if you do this. That's not a prophetic word. A prophetic word says God has said this is how it is going to happen, and it shall come to pass as God has said. And whatever they say is going to be in alignment with the word of God. It's going to be in alignment with the Spirit of God. So what I want to say is this. I categorically say this for those that are on the prayer line and for those that are going to be hearing whatever we have recorded here today. Please stop sending me seasonal prophetic words that are coming from people that are giving you exit strategy just in case their prophecy does not come to pass. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, your responsibility is to know the voice of God. Your responsibility is to hear the voice of God. In the name of Jesus. So that's all I'm going to say. Judge them by their fruit. Judge their word by the Spirit. Judge their word by the word of God. How does it measure? And then see their life. Does it testify what God is saying? Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit on that. I just felt in my spirit just to release on that. And then we go into our place of prayer. This is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 7th verse. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. That's verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. And then he says in verse number 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Verse number 9 says, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing, verse number 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our body. Verse number 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in our appearance and not in heart. So the Apostle Paul said, but I want to focus on this a few things here. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. The excellence of power may be of God and not of us. To God belongs all the glory. To God belongs all the praise. To God belongs all the worship. To God belongs all the adoration. To God belongs all the praise. It's not man that stands up and declares that shall be ascribed glory to, but all glory, honor, and praise may be given unto our God. We are in a place where God is, where we are. We ought to be saying, God, may we decrease that you may increase. God, may our praise, our own praise and the praise of people towards us be less, and let the praise and honor and adoration be raised up to our God, for only He is worthy, worthy of all praise and worthy of all glory. I want to stand by the words of the prophet Malachi in the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse, when he say that God declares, I am God and I do not change. I am God and I do not change. That means the God in the book of Genesis womb, who spoke the heavens and the earth into existence, who spoke all the visible things out of the invisible. That same God is the God that is God in our day and age. He is never diminished in his place of glory. He is more glorious. He is still glorious as he was, because he does not change. And then he deserved all the glory, and then he deserved all the praise, and still today he deserves the same. The word of God says, let no flesh glory in his presence. Let no flesh glory in his presence, but let our God be glorified and magnified. I want us to get into a place tonight where we understand that God is God. God is transcendent. God is above all, in the name of Jesus. God is above all. God is above all. That we, the saints of the Most High, must get into a place of reverence and worship where we are so fearful of misrepresenting our God, because he is so glorious. We are so fearful of speaking a word he has not spoken and ascribing it to him, knowing that he is God and he is not man. In the name of Jesus. I want to say this tonight emphatically, without any shame, without any reservation. God is God. And men are men. I'm going to say it again. God is God and men are men. That specifically states this now. Men are going to fall, but God will never fall. Men are going to fail, but God will never fail. I specifically say that this to position us in a place of understanding, because the Bible says of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. That's what Isaiah declared. Say that Jesus Christ said, on this rock I will build my church, asking the apostles, who do men say I am? And the apostle Peter then said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but my Father in heaven. Upon this rock, upon this revelation that I am the Son of God, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That specifically means this, that the devil is not going to prevail against the church of the living God. The church of the living God is not dying. I'm going to say it again. The church of the living God is not dying. The church of the living God is thriving. It is growing. The kingdom of God is growing. The glory of the kingdom of God is going to be seen. But here's the thing. When you look at what the prophet Isaiah said, he said, there shall be darkness upon the land, and great darkness upon the people. But nevertheless, arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord shall rise upon thee. I want somebody here to understand tonight. Don't listen to the voice that's saying the church of the living God is dying. The church of the living God is thriving. He said there is going to be darkness, even great darkness upon the people. But the church of the living God is rising up in glory. It's rising up in power. It's rising up in splendor, because Christ is building the church. The Bible says we are lively stones being put together to build the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of the living God. The Bible says we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. Everything else that is standing around us that is not built on that foundation, at some point in time, it is going to fall to the ground. Somebody say hallelujah. Let me go a little bit deeper here tonight. You have to understand, when Christ was giving the parable, he said that there is going to be a man who is going to build his house in the sand, and one who is going to build his house on the rock. But when the winds come, that means they are all going to build up a structure. Oh, God, help me. They're going to build up a structure. They're going to build up structures. When somebody is building, they build something with splendor. They build something to be glorious. But the day, when the day of adversity comes, when the day of testing comes, no matter how glorious what you have built, is, when the foundations are shaky, What do you say, Perkins? I want to say this because most of us have built this life of spirituality, but their foundations are built on humanistic philosophies, humanistic ideas. They are built around the foundation of celebrity preachers, celebrity cultures. But there is a day that is coming when your faith is going to be tested. There is a day that is coming where what you believe is going to be tried in the name of Jesus. And this is the thing. We that are built on the foundation of the rock, that rock that Jacob laid his head on, we that are built on that rock in the day of adversity, our faith is not going to be found wanting, for we are standing on Christ, and everything else around us is going to be built on shaky sand. It is going to fall when the day of adversity comes. And here's the thing. How, when does that day of adversity come? That day of adversity comes when the person, the celebrity you build your faith on fails and falls. Do you lose your faith? Because if you are building your faith based on the personality and the charisma of the preacher, you are building your faith on shaky sand, on shaky ground. Anybody hearing me? If you are building your faith because, oh God, help me, Jesus. I don't know who I'm speaking to tonight. God must be the foundation. I said God does not change. God is going to be your anchor. Anybody hearing me? God help me, Jesus. He is going to be your anchor. Because in this day and age, there is going to be a great falling away. It's not falling away from the church. It's the chaff being taken away from the wheat. Anybody hearing? Hearing me, it's the weeds that are being uprooted from amongst the wheat, because they exhibit a level of spirituality and a level of holiness, but their hearts are far from God. And God does not look at the outward appearance. God is looking at what is within the heart, because what is outside is going to be subject to change, because it is built around the systems of man. But what is inside of you? You see, here's the thing that the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I'm going to say that again. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. I'm going to say it again. Somebody needs to hear that. He says, God, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. He did not say, I trust this preacher so much that I will not sin against you. Says, thy word have I hid in my heart. That means, God, whatever happens in my heart, my thoughts, my intentions, God, they are going to be judged by the word that I have hid inside of me. Because most of us, we build our lives, we build our faith, we build our morality based on what is acceptable to the preacher. But it must be what is acceptable before God. Let me give you a case in point. I don't know where I'm going with this tonight, but here's the thing. Because you can hide a lot of things from your pastor. You can hide a lot of things from your pastor. But you can never hide anything from God. So most of us make ourselves accountable to our pastor, which is commendable. But we don't make ourselves accountable to God, which is required. So what I'm saying tonight is, you are living your life. Don't live your life as pleasing to your pastor, but live your life as pleasing unto God. Here's the problem. I know I'm going to step on some toes tonight, but it's okay. I feel this prophetic thing rising up all over me in the name of Jesus. I didn't even intend to go this way. But here's the thing. You see, most of us are working towards attaining a title in the eyes of the pastor.
So you have worked hard to attain the title, but where is God in the picture? I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Maybe I may offend some people, but it's okay. I'm not afraid tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You can ascend to a position in the church, have a title, carry the credentials, but there is no anointing, because the anointing does not come because you have attained the title. Anybody hearing me? Because the thing that we are dealing with, what we are dealing with, this is not a work of the flesh. This is a work of the Spirit. Jesus. Let me just dig a little bit deeper. Let me give you one more scripture here. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 15. 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 15. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Christ did not die for you to live your life for yourself. He died so that you may live your life for him, in him. The Bible says, it is not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So if you are living your life to please man, you are living the life unto yourself. But if you are living your life as pleasing unto God, you are living your life unto Christ. If you are living your life unto Christ, that means, God, let Christ be fully formed in me. Let Christ be fully formed in me. I'm going to say it again. Let Christ be fully formed in me. If Christ is fully formed in me, God, Jesus said, I hear what my Father say, and that is what I say. If Christ says, let the mind that was in Christ be in you also. Tonight, here is the thing. You have to get to a level of maturity in your life where you are not running for the next prophetic word, but you are looking for the heart and the mind of God. You are looking for the mind and the will of God. I'm going to say it again. You have to get to a place of maturity where you're not running to find the next prophetic voice, but you are looking for the mind and the will of God. I'm going to say it again. Piling up prophetic words in your life doesn't make you holy. It doesn't make you spiritual. Okay? There's only one person who can make you spiritual. That's the Holy Spirit. Only one person who can make you holy. That's the Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit of God was sent as your helper. To help you in what? To help you in leading you into all truth. See, here's the thing. You have been running all your life from one prophetic word to another. You are like a drug addict, living from one prophetic word to another, but never giving time for that prophetic word to mature you. God help me. You see, we were given the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints. They were not meant to make us junkies, but to strengthen us in the things of God. How are they strengthening us? To strengthen us in our relationship, in our walk with God. So if the prophetic words you have received are endearing you unto the prophet and not unto God, there is something wrong with that. So tonight I pray, I contend, that God will bring you into a place where your relationship with God is more important than anything else in your life. where you are seeking the face of God, say, God, I need you today like never before. I see some places. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I see some places. I see some places. The fire has gone out on your altar because you are seeking for a prophetic word. You have never visited your closet to pray unto God. You're just looking for the next prophet to speak a word over you. And God is saying, can we talk just for a minute? Can I just say this symbolically? I'm not saying that's how it is, but it's going to give you a picture. It's going to give you a picture. God showed up in the garden at the appointed time. Adam and Eve were hiding because they were naked. They were fearful. Same thing, we are hiding under a prophetic word from the presence of God. Anybody hearing me? We are running to find a prophetic word, yet we are running away from the presence of God. God wants to have a relationship with you. God wants to talk to you. God wants to reveal things to you. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with the prophetic, because it is a gift that is needed in our day and in our age. But we must be able to discern the true prophetic voices that are speaking. Many false prophets have gone. Many false prophets have gone. But here's the thing. God is still sitting on the throne. Because just, I read a scripture again, 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse number 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but we are not destroyed. The psalmist put it this way: Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemies. See, my life is not my own. It is not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Christ conquered the grave. The grave cannot hold me back anymore. I live for Christ, the King of glory. I like what the Apostle Paul said. To live, if I live, it's profitable to you. And if I die, it's gain. So whichever way you look at it, it's going to be beneficial to me. Because it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Can I just tell you something? Just to point out this. You cannot kill a dead man twice. You cannot kill a dead man twice. Here's the thing. Christ died and he arose again. The devil cannot kill him anymore. Why do you say this, Perkins? Because it is appointed for a man who wants to be born and wants to die. He cannot die twice. And I'm saying Perkins is dead, but Christ lives in me. So you cannot kill a man that is already dead because he's already dead. What I'm saying tonight, be careful who you are listening to. Be careful who you are following. Because there are many false prophets that have gone out. And they are speaking.
We are living in a day and age of technology and acceleration. Technology acceleration equals accessibility. We are living in a season of portability where we can move attached to the internet. We can move one place to the other. We are living in a place where we don't have to be a part of a congregation to hear a prophetic word. We are living in a season of digital media, in a season where anybody can broadcast, in a season where anybody can give themselves a title, in a season where anybody can market themselves and build up a following. Living in a season where people are looking to hear what they want to hear, so anybody can rise up and speak what the people want to hear, and they will establish a remarkable following. We are living in a place where anything can be used to establish a platform. I can build up one because I speak about somebody. I can build up one because my ministry responsibility is to tear down somebody. I can appoint myself to be in a place where my ministry is to correct somebody. I can build a following because we have a common hatred. So we're living in a place whereby it is imperative that we stay in tune with God. It is imperative that we spend more time in the closet to be able to know the voice of the shepherd. Because so many voices are speaking and they are causing you to build your faith on shaky ground. Because nobody holds them accountable for the words that they say over you. But the day is going to come when you look back at every prophetic word you have been given and you realize the word your favorite prophet told you never came to pass. And you begin to evaluate that every prophetic word that they gave you had an exit strategy where they can say it's because you did not have enough faith. Or they say you did not hear me clearly. Or they can say, well, maybe your life changed and God changed his mind. So all I say is, the prophets, the false prophets, did not disguise themselves as the world. Anybody hearing me? They disguised themselves as the church. So their intent is to deceive the church. Because the world is already deceived. They have deceived the church. That means they are going to be preachers. They are going to be ministers. They are going to be pastors. They are going to be apostles. They are going to be evangelists. They are going to be teachers. But they are all wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. That the way, only way that we are going to stand strong is to say we know the voice of the shepherd and we hearken under the voice of the shepherd. Why did I read that verse again? Number 7, number 8, we're pressed on every side. The church is being squeezed, but we are not going to be destroyed. Because the word of God will not return to him void. That word that say the gates of hell will not prevail against my church, those words are going to stand true in the name of Jesus. Father, for every man, every woman who is hearing my voice today, I speak as a humble servant of God, not that I may be glorified, but that God may be glorified. May the blood of Jesus wash them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet.
Father, let the blood of Jesus purify their and cleanse their hearing in the name of Jesus. May they be clear to hear the voice of the shepherd. May their eyes be open, that they may be able not to see what men are doing, but to see what the Spirit is doing. Father, cleanse their nostrils, that they may be able to discern what is true and what is not. Let the word of God settle deep in their hearts, that they'll be able to judge every thought, that they'll be able to cast down every imagination and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God, because they judge every thought by the word that is in their hearts. Let them be not given to following every prophetic voice, but to follow the voice of God. And I pray that God, in this season, you send true prophetic voices to declare the word of God over their lives, that they may prosper in what you have sent them to do. Let them begin to hear the word of God and not the word of man. A word that will strengthen their relationship with you and not with man. For they are not followers of man, but they are followers of God. In the name of Jesus. And I pray that, oh God, they understand that you are the shield, you are the strong tower, you are the refuge, you are the fortress. You are the only one whose words will not fall to the ground. You declared by your word, oh God, differentiating and distinguishing yourself from man, when you said, I am not a man that I should lie, nor a son of man that I should repent. Father, you are the one who said, your ways are not our ways, and your thoughts are not ours. Not only did you state, oh God, the framework of differentiation, but you said they are higher. Higher are your ways and higher are your thoughts. And Father, now I call our attention to the words of Hosea in the 10th chapter when he said, it is now time to seek the Lord until he has rained his righteousness on us. Tonight, O God, bring us to a place where we can be on our knees in our secret chambers and commune with you. Bring us to a place, O God, where we rekindle the fire on the altar, where we can pray up a storm in the presence of the Most High God, in the secret place, that we may be endowed with power. In the name of Jesus. And Father, right now over somebody, I declare that their appetite is changing. Their appetite is changing. They are not wanting to feed on what has been prepared by man, but what has been prepared by God. For your word says, O God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Not a word from the mouth of man, but a word that proceeded from the mouth of God. And let them feed and eat at the table that you have prepared before them, that they may be sustained in the day of adversity. And right now, God, every false prophetic word that has been spoken over them and into them, let it dry up now in the name of Jesus. Let them be able to remove themselves from pursuing that which has been declared by man into pursuing that which has been declared by God. Let your word, O God, lead them into paths of righteousness as the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs. Strengthen them, O God, now by your mighty hand and by your mighty power, because only you are God and you are the only one who is able. As you declared, O God, in Zechariah, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. This, O God, do in the name of Jesus. And Father, over somebody, I declare that there are angelic visitations that are coming in the name of Jesus. Angelic visitations that are coming to affirm and reaffirm what God has declared. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to say this. When you look at the way that the angels were appearing, they were coming with a message, not from man, but a message from God to man. May there be angelic visitations of angels delivering the assignments and the answers to your prayer. In the name of Jesus. Do not be in despair, because the words of God are going to come to pass, and the words of men are going to fail. And remember this I said, from Genesis to Revelation, from the beginning of time, the end of time, God will still be sitting on the throne. Men will come into time, live and die, but God will still be God. Every man has an opportunity to develop glory. The question is, whose glory do they glorify? For God we live, and for God we die. It is not us, but Christ who is the hope of glory. Father, tonight we commit our lives into your hands. Say, have your way, Holy Spirit. Let Christ be fully formed in us. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read this verse for you. Numbers 6. Towards the last verses of number 6. Verse number 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Watch those words. It did not say, may men bless you. Says the Lord bless you. It did not say, may men keep you. It says the Lord keep you. It did not say that the Lord, it didn't say, may man make his face shine upon you. It says the Lord make his face to shine upon you. It did not say, may man be gracious to you. It says, may God be gracious to you. It did not say that may the man lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. It says, may the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Why? Because God himself is peace. He is the God of peace. He is the maker of peace. And he is the giver of peace. So if you're having restless nights, call unto the peace giver. He is the giver of peace. If you are in a trial, in affliction, in a pressing, in a shaking, call upon the God of peace. You see, the God of peace is so confident with his peace that he doesn't have to change the circumstance. Anybody hearing me? You see, when you are in the midst of a war, the only way that peace comes is when the war is over. Anybody hearing me? But when you are dealing with God, peace comes even though war is still going on. You may be experiencing some turbulent winds, turbulent waters, storms and gales. But God will say, in the midst of it all, I will give you peace. And my peace will not cause the storm to cease, but my peace will cause you to ride out the storm. That's how remarkable. That's why the Bible says, the peace of God that surpasses human understanding. You may be in a financial crisis, but I have this peace that it shall be well, because he is my Jehovah Jireh. So I will ride out the storm without panicking, because I have the peace in me. That's why it's a part of human understanding. I would rather have the peace of God than a prophetic voice speaking a word of carnality. I would rather build my faith on the true word of God than a false prophetic voice. And Father, right now, God help me. I had no intention of going this way, but the Holy Spirit was just leading. I'll say this in closing. I heard a song. I'm not too sure who wrote the song, but I heard the song being sung by Judy Jacobs. I think Cindy Jacobs. Is it Judy or Cindy? Cindy Jacobs. These are the days of Elijah. I heard that song. These are the days of Elijah. I love that song. I love that song. I love the song when I heard it, coming with power. I love the song. But one day, the Holy Spirit revealed something to me when I was listening to that song. It made me fully appreciate the greatness of those words. And what happened was, I realized that I was focusing on one aspect of the days of Elijah. I was focusing on the days of thunder, the days of power, the days of miracles. But the Holy Spirit reminded me, says, go read the book of Kings again and consider the days of Elijah. And when I begin to read again and I realize something, in the days of Elijah, Jezebel was in the king's courts. In the days of Elijah, there were prophets feeding at Jezebel's table. In the days of Elijah, prophets were hiding in the caves. In the days of Elijah, Elijah was running for his life. In the days of Elijah, people were being killed because the king wanted their inheritance, Ahab. In the days of Elijah, many things were happening. The heavens were shut. In the days of Elijah, false prophets were going to be judged. In the days of Elijah, Jezebel was going to be dethroned. In the days of Elijah, different things were happening. And the Holy Spirit just said, now look at all those things. The whole people that are listening to that song, they only look at the power and the miracles, and they forget that the backdrop to all those days were the evil things that were taking place. So I believe these are the days of Elijah. And we are seeing the environment set up. That's why you've got so many false prophets that are preeminent. They are prominent. Because these are the days of Elijah. Read the book of Revelation. You're going to hear what that woman Jezebel has done. Seduce the kings. These are the days of Elijah. But here's the thing. In the days of Elijah, in the days of Elijah, watch this now, I'm done. In the days of Elijah, in the days of Elijah, in the days of Elijah, the question was being asked, if God be God, then serve him. If God be God, then serve him. And in the days of Elijah, the altar was being built. God was about to answer by fire. And you and I know what the fire is. On the day of Pentecost, it was a mighty rushing wind when tongues of fire came upon them. The days of Elijah, there is going to be an outpouring of the Spirit of the living God. But Jezebel is running the affairs of man. But the true prophets are going to rise. And watch this. Watch this. Watch this. At the end of the day, God was still God. And Elijah was anointing Elisha to be in his stead. A double portion season is coming. Anybody hearing me? A double portion season is coming because we are in the days of Elijah. So, Father, your name is holy. Righteous, all in all, you are God. Be glorified, be magnified, and be exalted. Amen, amen, and amen.